She knows how to love me and rock it too. That's my little Susie. She knows what to do.
Yes, she does. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas.
What do you think of that music, Susan?
I like it. I like this variety. There's been something new each week. He's being so creative.
We'll settle on something that you really like.
This is all brought to you by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. We are so proud. We are managing your money with Susan Schmidt. And all right. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. I got a question for you. Since the last we spoke, which was just a week ago, and still everybody's like, oh, Donald Trump's not going to be president. He's not even going to be the Republican nominee. And then he just, Indiana is who we thought they were. And they basically said, oh, hell, that seems like a good idea to me. What do you think? Yep, sure does. Now, he's the presumptive Republican nominee. How do you think, what are you hearing in the business community about this?
Yeah, well, this is going to be a problem, folks. So pay attention. The market isn't yet really paying attention. They're aware of this, and I think they're in denial. But either option here.
I was too, till Wednesday.
Either option here, whether it's, you know, the Democratic nominee or the Republican nominee, no one is going to take this well in the stock market. There's going to be a lot of concern from both of them in their different comments and their as they're in their final campaign push. So I think the markets here are going to be, they're cautious now. As we move through and move past the conventions, be prepared for volatility just from election rhetoric as we get into the back half of the summer and into the fall. But this is going to add volatility for sure.
I wonder, I mean, the question is why? If you look at this presidential race, you would say, you characterize it, words that characterize it, volatile, unstable, right? For
right.
sure. Polarizing even.
For sure.
Why wouldn't this rhetoric already be impacting?
Well, we've had these few small things like China.
Trade.
China.
Europe. What's going on over there? The Middle East. I don't know if you've heard about this whole oil thing, but there's that too.
Is there and, oil? I don't know.
I know, again. And yes, and gas prices are actually going up a little bit here. Mm-hmm. So it's.
I noticed.
She knows how to love me and rock it too. That's my little Susie. She knows what to do.
Yes, she does. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas.
What do you think of that music, Susan?
I like it. I like this variety. There's been something new each week. He's being so creative.
We'll settle on something that you really like.
This is all brought to you by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. We are so proud. We are managing your money with Susan Schmidt. And all right. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. I got a question for you. Since the last we spoke, which was just a week ago, and still everybody's like, oh, Donald Trump's not going to be president. He's not even going to be the Republican nominee. And then he just, Indiana is who we thought they were. And they basically said, oh, hell, that seems like a good idea to me. What do you think? Yep, sure does. Now, he's the presumptive Republican nominee. How do you think, what are you hearing in the business community about this?
Yeah, well, this is going to be a problem, folks. So pay attention. The market isn't yet really paying attention. They're aware of this, and I think they're in denial. But either option here.
I was too, till Wednesday.
Either option here, whether it's, you know, the Democratic nominee or the Republican nominee, no one is going to take this well in the stock market. There's going to be a lot of concern from both of them in their different comments and their as they're in their final campaign push. So I think the markets here are going to be, they're cautious now. As we move through and move past the conventions, be prepared for volatility just from election rhetoric as we get into the back half of the summer and into the fall. But this is going to add volatility for sure.
I wonder, I mean, the question is why? If you look at this presidential race, you would say, you characterize it, words that characterize it, volatile, unstable, right? For
right.
sure. Polarizing even.
For sure.
Why wouldn't this rhetoric already be impacting?
Well, we've had these few small things like China.
Trade.
China.
Europe. What's going on over there? The Middle East. I don't know if you've heard about this whole oil thing, but there's that too.
Is there
and,
oil? I don't know.
I know, again. And yes, and gas prices are actually going up a little bit here. So it's
I noticed that, by the way.
I did too.
Yeah,
I just
they are
up
coming,
today.
They are coming. They're coming back up. So it's still not horrible. Remember that in recent memory, oil was and gas cost more than $4 a gallon. We all remember that. That was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
so
we're
still
supposed
to feel
either.
Lucky that it's
still
it's not $4.
Well, now you have to pay more than $2. It's still a good deal. So,
all right, okay. I just want to say I went to one of those places in the city yesterday to go fill up, and it was $2.70 for the regular gas, which I can put in the taro and be very happy about. But then I noticed for the fancy gas, mm-hmm. it was like $3.60.
I think that's what I paid
for
today.
The fancy, and that was like, that's a 90-cent differential.
Do we know if the fancy gas really makes a difference?
They say in certain engine, like European cars and stuff like that, you got to have it. And then they go, because if you do not put it in our car, it will explode on you. You cannot have this.
Of your engine won't
work. You don't need this to happen. So I don't know.
They
whatever.
Highest gas prices in Chicago right now, $3.30 for the low grade. And then the lowest right now you'll find is $2.08 in Lockport.
Oh, see, you got that's still pretty good.
You got to go to Lockport.
Or Addison, yeah. Right. Lombard out west.
I go to suburbs. Hammond. I just go to Hammond and I get my cigarettes and my fireworks and my gas all at the same time.
Get everything all at once.
And then, you know. Same problem. All right. Okay. So the Trump thing is interesting to me because I've had a lot of people, including, as you know, my mother, say to me, he'd be so good for the markets. I go, no.
Oh, dear.
No.
Well,
because the issue here is unpredictability, right?
That's
they don't know
exactly
what
right.
he stands
so
for.
Remember that the overriding theme for the markets is the markets like stability. They like certainty. They don't like surprises. And Donald Trump is nothing but surprise because you never know what's going to come out of his mouth.
That's one of his ethics, as a matter of fact. He says he always wants to be he wants to surprise people. He doesn't want them to know exactly where
right,
he stands on things.
Likes to keep people on their toes. The market has a particular dislike mm-hmm. to that kind of approach. So it is going to be very difficult, particularly as we've seen, I think one might say that Trump is still establishing some of his policy stances.
Yeah.
And
in other words, he doesn't know what he's talking about yet.
And so as those evolve, they might change along the way, thus adding a changing perspective. And the market's going to be reacting very violently to that.
To the good or the bad coming out of it.
Right.
And then the other option for this is the markets are not big fans of Hillary Clinton, right?
No, and that's another problem.
Why
so,
is that? If she's such a friend of Wall Street, as
well,
been suggested on the campaign trail.
Yes, and it
and through
is.
Her donations.
She does have a lot of support from Wall Street, but she does talk a good game of anti-business, anti-healthcare. Now, Trump also has come out anti-healthcare, and I would say if you're looking at the markets by sector and industry groupings, healthcare is going to be the most targeted area, and that's where you're going to see the most volatility because that will get buffeted either way. Neither one of them has come out in support of our current healthcare plan. They both said things have to change, whether it's the big pharma companies, whether it's the, you know, biotech drug developers. They've both made negative comments around that. That's going to cause a lot of shifting of money for, you know, defensive. We used to think healthcare was a great place to hide. It's a very defensive mm-hmm. place to be. So in a volatile market, people like healthcare. Everybody needs healthcare. In this case, not so much. So be careful.
You know, the White House issued a very, what seemed like a very rosy statement about the economy today. The president talked about it in his speech today. He said the economy is growing, unemployment is falling, wages are rising. And yet that jobs report came out today.
Wait,
and
not that strong.
Like everyone was receiving it so strongly. It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
It wasn't really good. It wasn't really bad. It's somewhat in the middle. So we had a jobs report this morning that came out, 160,000. The street initially was looking for a number more like 200,000 new jobs offered. And we did get a warning on Wednesday because the ADP, which is a company which processes
checks,
payrolls
right?
and checks, yeah. So they track data themselves. They come out with a number the Wednesday before the government number comes out. That Wednesday number was also very weak. And so, well,
and there's also some concern about that government number, right?
Well, the government number,
it's been known. I mean, I remember in election year specifically, there has been some mistrust of the government number. Is it getting cooked?
There's always mistrust of the government numbers because the data compilation is somewhat unusual, or it has variability
to it. It's a
floating
target.
And I think, in fact, Ro, I remember in a January report some winters ago, we had a particularly harsh winter, and the jobs report came out, and the initial number that came out was, you know, sub 100,000. It was like 83,000. And the swing factors, they talk about the variability, plus or minus, they miss it by, is 63,000. I think is the number on that.
So we were in a margin of error of 60%.
You've got a huge margin of error on that. Now, it's generally not that far off, but if that's what they're telling you the swing factor is, you know there's some variability in the data.
But the president today was going after Republicans, saying that if they would just adopt common sense financial reforms, they would be able to help the economy. And what he's looking to do is he's looking for changes in banking laws, right?
He is looking for changes in banking laws, and that's not a new theme for the government. They've been on this since coming out of the, you know, recession. As we come towards recovery, there's been a lot of pressure on what are we going to do? Regulations have changed for banks. How are we going to help that? Now, interestingly, I just came back from a banking conference for the Gulf South Bank. So everything in the southeast around the coast of Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, Carolinas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Nashville, the big hot area, all these great areas.
Nice area.
So big cities are talking. So whether it's Nashville, New Orleans, or somewhere in Florida, they're talking about what's going on. Interestingly, the comments from there were how difficult it is to cooperate with the government, and that they're actually suppressing.
The
rules are so onerous for smaller banks that it's actually suppressing growth, and it's actually suppressing the economy because the banks are unable to comply with all of this and lend at the same time.
The bigger banks have compliance officers. They have entire they have banks of compliance people, whereas the smaller banks don't. They can't afford to maintain
that. Well, the smaller banks don't. And in fact, I talked to a smaller bank. So if we talk about the banks that we know here in Chicagoland area that are regional banks, they have to have compliance. Talking to banks of those size, some of their departments of compliance people that are brand new, right? They've just been added on, are 150 people.
Yeah,
that's a lot of
just
people
to get, just to do your job
to add on where the department didn't exist before.
But the president isn't suggesting to make the rules necessarily easier because he's one of those guys, safety net guy.
No, he's not.
But what they want to do is they want to go and chase money that is leaving the country. Right? Isn't that part of the deal?
That is part of the deal. It's trying to find ways to keep money captive. In some ways, we're chasing the loopholes, again with the loopholes. This administration is very anti-inversions. We've talked about corporate inversions where companies are taking their headquarters and changing them to be overseas to change the tax rate and lower the tax rate significantly. So this administration has come out and said, you know, we don't really want that. We're very against that. The IRS and the tax laws have they put a stop to it.
He and Donald Trump, there's something he and Donald Trump agree on right there.
And that is something Donald Trump and he agree on. And so we're seeing them take steps trying to curtail the flexibility. I would argue the other side of this, talking to a lot of CEOs, the reason they're going to corporate inversions is because they're finding it so hard to operate here under some of the new rules and restrictions with no clarity for what's going on. So both sides are frustrated in this, both the government and the corporations. And it just seems like we're not getting a whole lot of progress. And within the regulatory system for banks, that still has a lot of things that need to be worked out. So this bank conference, I heard a lot of, you know, trials and tribulations of working with the regulators trying to figure out what's going on. And we thought we were in compliance. We don't know what they want now.
All right. Susan Schmidt is with us. We will come back and we're going to ask her if she's going to attend our Derby party tomorrow.
That's putting her on the spot, don't you think?
I'm going to do it anyway. Well, she's going to have 2.5 minutes to think about it before she answers it.
I may have an extra hat, Susan,
I'll need a hat.
Push you in any direction.
Yeah. All right, I'm just saying we're going to ask her if she's going to do that on the other side. But first, Violetta Powder-Medic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots right now. All right, Susan Schmidt from Westwood. Oh, wait, I stepped on the lyrics. Hold on. We're always trying new music for her.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so we're doing a Derby party tomorrow.
That sounds very exciting.
Yes, it's Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. Now, how do you feel about if it were between the financial markets and horse racing, what do you think is the safer bet?
Well, I'm a little biased, so I would go with the financial markets on that one.
I'm
you ever
sorry.
Won any
that's,
money?
That's the incorrect answer. I'm
ever
sorry.
Won any money on a horse?
You know, I
ever?
Have.
Okay.
I have, which is an exhilarating feeling when you get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that there's a science and a skill to it, and they're beautiful animals, and it's wonderful to see these just incredibly powerful equine athletes racing down.
See? Wow, this is very good.
She's speaking music to your ears.
She is. So. That is. I mean, that's the sexiest thing I've ever heard a woman say to me right there.
Play that back. Make it a ringtone. Do something with it.
Yeah. And all right. So what? So will you attend tomorrow?
Anna, do you have a hat?
I have a couple of hats, and I think this friend of mine is a Southerner. She's got hats because they wear them there, and she's maybe able to loan them to both of us. So I'm going to call
her.
That
would be lovely. I would love to attend.
And Violetta and Judy have there's a whole, if you could see in back of Judy's other desk, it's like a hat shop. It's like the Shop Around the Corner movie. I mean, it's going on back there.
Judy takes care of me.
Yeah. So they're all ready to go.
And Judy had a great idea too. She said you can get hats and then decorate them. Like get a reasonable hat somewhere and then decorate them from like Michael's with little flowers.
With the flowers and the ribbons. That's a great idea.
You can do
grapes,
all of that.
Fruit, you know.
And so that'd
Carmen
be my
Miranda. Donald Trump's not going to like that.
Picture of Donald Trump on your hat. Whatever you want.
Horses,
because it is a horse thing. Well, I'm going to give you the winners for the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, so it'll all be good.
Okay, and then that's a sure thing.
It's absolute. You cannot go wrong. Ron Major's going to join us at 6 o'clock. He's got the winners in his pocket right now.
Okay, so. Well, as long as I'm in the know on that, then I feel much more comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. What could possibly go wrong? Got a hot dip for you.
Right. I'm sure Susan's heard that a couple of times in her career. Hey, bet on this.
She's like, whatever. $500 million on this.
Exactly. And folks, it's actually true. When the taxi driver or the shoeshine guy starts telling you
stock tips,
I've got a great idea of an investment for you. Hey, did you hear about this one?
You sell it.
Yeah, that's when you start to get worried about the state of the market, and you think about maybe, you know, just be prepared. I should take a step back here.
Wasn't that some apocryphal story about Nelson Rockefeller?
The Great Crash.
In the Great Crash in the 20s when a shoeshine guy started giving him stock tips, and it was like, okay, I got to get out of the market.
Right, this is not a good thing.
Yes, right. So I don't know. We'll say. All right, Susan Schmidt. Well, you can meet Susan Schmidt tomorrow at our party, too. Come on down. It's at Howells and Hood right here at the Tribune Tower. Starts at 3 o'clock tomorrow, and it goes till after the race, and the Beat is going to be there. They've got their radio show going on simultaneously to our thing. We got big screens. We got televisions. We got great Southern food. Kevin's out of his mind already talking about bourbon-glazed ribs, mint juleps, and
pecan pie.
And our very dear friends at Tito's. Handmade Vodka are sponsoring.
Wow.
So it's all Tito's products. Oh, I think you're going to like this. I think you made a smart move, Susan Schmidt, by saying yes to this party. All right, coming up right after we go, the Trump tow truck driver does not help the Bernie Sanders woman in distress.